This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Network powered, yes, as it powered by Spotify. Cousin Sal coming to you. Oh, we got Mikey Meatballs. He is producing this disaster of a show. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, a D3, Harry, Brother Bry, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
How you doing, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Well, we've got so much going on, Brother Bry. So much to go over. We have the backup brigade took over the NFL. The quarterback spot about to present itself in full force week 14. I think I saw I think there might be 12 backups, but four of the current AFC, four of the seven current AFC playoff teams are going to start backups probably this week if Trevor Lawrence is not suiting up. But we'll get to that in a second. We'll get to the look-ahead lines. We're going to recap week 13. Lots to say about the college football playoff structure. PK, Parlay Kid, is stewing, but he's not that upset as he went 9-4, as did Harry last week in our pro bets. Good job by you, Parlay Kid, pulling away. I think you have a four-game lead in our pick standing now. 104, 81, and 8. Nice.
Plenty
work.
Of time for you guys to catch up. Plenty of time.
I was awful. Good. That's how
only a matter. I'm going to have a 4-9 week coming up, so it's whatever.
Brian and I have had a couple of those. We're 5-8, 4-9, bad. Mm-hmm. Harry is back to bragging, right, Brian? Defending his record.
I know. He made sure to send about 7 or 8 texts. Over a span of...
He had a good week.
Yeah, had a good week. Had a good week. 4-1 on the last against all odds. 10-6 with two plus 200s on Cousin Sal's winning weekend. And 9-4, like you said, Sal, in the picks overall.
He doesn't want to count his minus 150 7-point teasers that go down.
Minus 130.
All right. A couple of weeks ago, you couldn't care less. You didn't care who was making the picks for you, but now you're on top of the world. We all have to hear about it, right, Brian?
Well, yeah, but the he did get his Thursday night pick too, right? Oh, wow. Yep. That was the first one he's picked in a while. Yep.
Cartoon Harry, 3-0 in his last three. Cartoon Ken, 0-1.
We don't
even
know. I know. Just don't mention overall records. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Still at the bottom there. All right, listen. It's time to deep dive into the collectively crushed soul of the D3 in a segment we hate to call bed aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bad ache. It's a bad ache. It's a bad ache.
All right, well, Harry's got none. Again, perfect week, Harry. No bed aches, nothing bad.
No
so we'll
bed
skip
aches.
You.
Up 800 on the weekend. I'm good.
800 what?
800 smashers?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sunday.
I can't wait to not hear about this.
Detroit, San Francisco, Green Bay. I told you I loved loved Love and Green Bay on Sunday.
This is not what BetX is about, Harry. We talk about our losses, and then we go to the positive, the potentially positive. Let me start us off. I was going to say Chiefs. We'll have a lot more to say about that Chiefs-Packers game. I needed that to close out a same-game parlay Chiefs money line. It was beautiful. Oh, the way I put it together, and then some craziness at the end. But this is more recent. Jaguars money line. I tried to get ahead, Bri. Money line parlay. Jaguars, 49ers next Sunday. Dolphins next Monday. First Monday night football game in 12 years. I can't believe Harry didn't go crazy about that in Jacksonville, that they get a Monday night game. Anyway, 7-0 lead. Defense playing good. Pressuring Jake Browning, who then turned into Joe Burrow during a commercial break. I don't know what the hell happened. He was 19 for 21 at some point, and then they let Boyd, the receiver, throw a pass. It was a terrible pick. It's the worst you'll see all year. That's deep, deep, deep in their own territory. The Jags go up 7, and that should have been it. You know, we had a nice little thrill from the Bengals. Thanks for playing. You're bounced from the playoffs. Nope. They come back. Bad hold call, bad no PI call, whatever. I'm used to that. Bengals get the ball back in overtime and an insane Jamar Chase catch. Long field goal. That's that. I'm in the hole, Bri. Going into Tuesday. Good job.
Well, I will say, I give you credit, Sal, because you've obviously had some bad losses, but like on our text exchanges, you're kind of like, you know what, if a team played, I feel like this year especially, you're not going crazy. Yeah, you're not going crazy. Yeah. Like I'm the one sending texts. I'm going crazy. Like if there's a bad call, all these bad calls, you're kind of with the, well, this team is playing better, this team deserved to win or whatever. I feel like you've done a good job with that. I mean, where I'm just going,
I expect three bad calls a game against me, and maybe for me, hopefully. That's all. It's like, all right, it's like sitting in traffic. Like, all right, I know this is 8 miles away, but it's going to take me 55 minutes. Right, I just have to get used to
it. Look, you had Kansas City the other night, right, too. Obviously, the one pass, I'm totally fine with no pass interference on the Hail Mary. The one before it obviously is just an awful call. But again, you're kind of like, look, the Packers deserve to win that game. They played better. So I give you credit. That being said, I
give me $3,000. I don't need credit.
I don't like
I need
Sal to make like up that, to be look. Honest, though. I want Sal pissed like college days, Sal.
It'll be plenty of times to get pissed. We have the Cowboys sniffing around the playoffs. I'll put plenty of opportunity. Don't worry.
But I'll say I got smoked in general this week. I mean, it started with that Cowboys game. I had the Cowboys. You guys did a good job with the Seahawks there. But Oregon and Georgia, man, I talked them up last week a lot. That was going to be my big parlay. I put a huge parlay in with them. You know, did I know, obviously, if you went the other way, if you went Bama and Washington, you were probably getting about 7-1, right? So bad job by me there. But I'm going to say my bet ache was the Broncos this weekend. I gave that out as my Shark Tank pick. I think all of our Shark Tank picks have been terrible for the last 3 weeks here. But down 6 in that game, right? They sack Stroud. They get the fumble. There's 4 guys hanging around the ball there for the Broncos. And of course, you know, there's nobody even close for the Texans around that ball, and it would have been on the Texans 30. One of the guys just botches it, knocks it forward. The Texans get the ball back. Even though they had to punt, then that led to, you know, on the very next play, Wilson gets picked. They score that. But that whole game, you know, I still thought they were going to cover. I thought they were going to win that game, you know, late in that game. Once you get that many chances, right? And Russell, they kept converting, like just converting fourth down. They did like 3 in a row. Kind of nuts. The clock has actually ended up almost running out completely from like a 6-minute drive there at the end. I just thought they were going to win. You know, Texans hold on, they get the pick there. But that killed.
It wasn't a bad pass either.
It wasn't
once
necessarily.
He broke contain, it was like, all right, he threw it up there. It was a nice play by the defender.
He probably just needed like 1 yard further or a little bit higher potentially to get the touchdown there. But that just sent me into a spiral for the weekend. I will say, what happens when you have that bad of a week and you lose that much and then you just decide, I'm going to do a really terrible, huge bet, but that bet pays off. What do we consider that? Like you kind of make up for it. Like I went huge.
I had the same thing.
I think I did my
I did the same thing. After Oregon lost, I did the same thing. And I did this. I think I told you, Harry, I had freaking Alabama. Yeah. I'm sorry. I had Georgia plus 7.5. I had some other thing, whatever. It was like crazy that any of it came through, but it never happens, Brian.
Right. And I went, I think I took, probably the biggest I've ever bet on a regular season NFL game. Whoa. And I took the 49ers money line. But
oh, well, okay.
But that was comfortable outside of that first quarter. But I basically got a lot of it back. Although, yeah, it's one of those things like maybe, I don't know, maybe it wasn't as much of a betting because I got that after it. But I don't know. We have to come up with what we'll call that, other than the previous nine minutes. Yeah, besides a gambling problem, I don't know.
Brian's kids don't have
to
go to a SUNY school now, right, Brian?
Brian, I don't know. I have a 1-800 number for him to call.
They'll
help him on the other line. Pick colleges for his kids. All right. Parlay Kid, what do you got?
Yeah, I there's several. Even though I had a good week, I thought some disappointments. I think you already mentioned the Jags, Sal. Even though I had Cincinnati getting the points, had an elimination pool, had the Jags last night, so that was very, very disappointing for them to come out. I don't know, questionable holding call, I thought, in overtime. And of course, Brother John beats me by 1 point in that fantasy showdown where I needed to have it. I come up an Etienne point short when the guy wasn't even on the field for half the game. What the heck is that? And just so you know,
Etienne was very close to being the third string quarterback in there, right?
I would have taken it. It would have been great.
Went down on that sack.
Right. But like, geez, the guy wasn't in the game for half the game. I know he had a questionable tag to him, but he played. And, you know, you needed him to step up last night, and you really never gave him a shot. You know, that was bad enough. And then, somehow, Brother John, you know what? How he really ended up beating me, Sal? You know, for Brother and John and I, there's a rivalry, and I needed that. And he beats me by a point in fantasy. You know what? The points that killed me? Why was Hurts back in the game?
Oh,
down
42-19
after he went into the locker room. He actually picked up some garbage points. That pisses me off. The Eagles deserve what they get now, as far as I'm concerned. That was brutal. Okay, and then... I wasn't watching the late games. I was working, really coaching the kids up like crazy. I wasn't, but when I'm looking at my phone, trying to pay attention to the games, every, you know, the couple chances I get, I see the Browns are, they were down 20-19, I think. Right. I felt good about it. Because they had the ball with like 5 minutes left. I kind of go, okay, I think I'm going to cover this game. Right. I put my phone back. I look up. They lose by like 30 points. I mean, it wasn't 30. You know what I mean?
I could not believe it.
Within 15 minutes, I go, what the heck happened? And then I look, of course, Flacco gets picked Flacco became Flacco. Okay, this quarterback situation? This is ridiculous.
It's really bad. You know, they went up 7-0, and I feel like they, you know, when you say, well, now teams have tape on the guy. And I was saying, like, I feel like they watched tape on Flacco during the commercial break after the first drive because he fell. That said, we can get into it, but I feel comfortable with him the rest of the way. Harry, the Browns quarterback.
I guess so.
They're returning to the practice squad. I don't know what they're going
to
do.
What happened to
this
that defense, though, Sal? They needed to step up that game.
The D has been bad for them lately because the offense has been so bad. Flacco still had 250 yards, but Darren, maybe you didn't catch it or whatever, but it was a bad decision with 2.5 minutes to go. Cleveland's down 8. It's 4th and 5 from their own 30. They have 3 timeouts left. And the 2-minute warning, they go for it 4th and 5 from their own 30, down 8, incomplete, touchdown Rams, game over.
Of course.
Yeah. The favorites did well this week. A lot of favorites maybe didn't deserve to cover, right? Like the Lions really looked like the Saints were coming back on them. They won by 5. They were given 3.5-4. The Chargers were ridiculous. They covered 5.5. They went 6-0. The Colts, the Titans blew that game too. 2 block punts in a row. Second one
missed extra point.
I don't know what the Falcons were doing. They keep winning this way. You know, it was weird. And Brian, you brought up the Texans was another one, but the others all deserve to. All right, Mikey Meatballs, let's hear the music again. Get out of this.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bad ache. It's a bad ache. It's a bad ache.
All right, so let's recap some of those Week 13 games. I'm going to move on to the Week 14 look-ahead lines. We mentioned it, 42-19. That was the game of the day. 49ers just crushed Philly. I mean, I didn't want to believe in it. I was like, you know what? This line's 5.5 points off. It's 6 points off from the look-ahead line from the summer. Why? Philly's lost one game. The 49ers lost three. 49ers need it more. That's why they're a 2-3 point. I couldn't have been more off. 49ers are a premier team. When they got it going, when it's not raining, when Deebo Samuel is healthy, I mean, nobody wanted to tackle that guy for anything. And yet, you got three guys in consideration for MVP, maybe not so much, but McCaffrey, Purdy, and Hurts. And the big story was Big Dom, Bri. Big Dom is the story. The security. First of all, this guy's got like 12 titles, but he's actually the head of security for the Eagles on the sideline. Luckily, it didn't mean anything, but Dre Greenlaw is getting into it with players on the sideline. Here comes Big Dom, this like 350, this baboon who everybody loves. The announcers know who he is and everything. He sticks a finger in Greenlaw's face. Greenlaw does the same. Maybe there's contact made. They're both thrown out. I would do this every time, Bri. I would
maybe not the head of security in Philly. Maybe you want that guy around, but maybe anybody else, right? You tell anybody else on your team, the water boy, anybody, just to touch another player, right? Let them get thrown out. I mean, I think for Greenlaw, I mean, I don't know. Did he put his hand in his face? Whatever. Did he punch him? Did he just put his hand in his face? Whatever. I mean, again, the security guy, head of security can't be helping players up and then pushing other guys off of other players. Like, regardless of how soft it is. I mean, why is that guy even, why is he on the sideline?
He shouldn't be facing the field. All the security should be facing the crowd. Sorry, what's your job? You don't get to see one play. Your buddies with the coach, and you give nice restaurant recommendations.
Right, he's Big Dom, and he wears a nice, he wears those weird hats and has those fancy sunglasses,
the Italian sticker and everything. Yeah,
he's allowed to do whatever he wants. I mean, it did provide some entertainment, I will say.
Funny. And they're lucky. It's just funny how it dominated the game for all the stars that were in the game. That was the big, here we are talking about
And the good thing for San Francisco wasn't a big deal, right? Because at that point in time, I think they were only up a touchdown. Kind of inspired them more, I think.
Yeah. Paul, kid, you've coached football, head coach. I know you hate when parents are on the side. It gets crazy, right? In the lower high school, college ranks, who's on the sideline anymore? But what would you do to a Big Dom? What are you going to do? Does this guy get reprimanded or what?
Yeah, I don't think he should be allowed on the sideline the rest of the year for the Eagles. How does that sound? I think that's fair enough. They shouldn't be interfering with players. Let them handle it. Security does not need to be involved. Yeah, and like you said, I mean, he shouldn't even know what's going on the field, I think, right? Should be facing the stands the whole time. I don't know.
Big Dom.
People play this guy off. He's a character, and that's it. But, if it was...
everybody knew him. Yeah.
That's the thing, right? So, but to me, unprofessional look by him should be suspended the rest of the year. The Eagles can decide if they want to suspend him with pay. Fine. But he shouldn't be on the sideline the rest of the year.
Now, on the other side, Harry, the 49ers, I think this is the first time this year, they're favored to win the Super Bowl, +320. Eagles are next at 5-1. The Chiefs, who struggled Sunday night and lost, +550. Mm. And then the Ravens, +650. I'm going to say something about the Ravens right now. I don't think a team has ever had a better bye than the Ravens. The Steelers lose. The Browns lose. They're division foes. The Bengals lose, but they lose to the Jaguars.
Win.
Jaguars, what's that? Bengals win, right. But the Jaguars lose, so they create separation. And the Chiefs lost Sunday night. So they gained the game on the Chiefs and Jaguars and the two teams that are really chasing them in the division. Like, it's something else. But anyway, Harry, back to it. 49ers +320 to win it. Is that a good bet?
Look, it just, again, they put up 42 versus Dallas, now 42 versus Philly, Purdy 4 touchdowns. Deebo in the lineup makes San Francisco look practically flawless. I mean, they're the most complete team when healthy. And right now, McCaffrey amazing again. You got it. San Francisco definitely is the favorite to win. Absolutely.
I'm afraid to take anyone, even right. I know the odds would change, but there's so many injuries, Bri. If like Purdy were to go down in the next month, we still have another month of this, right?
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say to you with the NFL.
Just wait.
With the NFL nowadays, right? Just wait till the playoffs. Like if it's plus 320 and the NFC, those two other teams are going to be tough, right? So it's going to be, it's still going to be plus, even if they dominate the rest of the way, it's still what, plus two something for them to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, 180 would be the lowest.
Right.
I think.
So it's right. like, yeah. I'd rather the plus 180 or the plus 200 than say plus 320 now. Games. And all of a sudden Debo's out, Purdy's out. I mean, look, they could get hurt in the playoffs too, but I'd rather take that chance. I think it.
Yeah. Right with you.
Yeah.
They'll give up that extra plus one, four, whatever it is. But I did see something. Some respected odds maker said that the 49ers are 5 points better than any other, than the second best team on a neutral field. So keep that in mind when guessing the lines.
Yeah.
5 points better. I think NFC's favored in the Super Bowl at this point. I haven't seen that line, which is interesting going forward. All right. Parlay Kid, here we go. It's now 4 days, 5 days removed. Dallas, Seattle, 41-35. Good bet. Good win. I'm going to say it right now. We've lost so many of those games. I'll take it. I don't even care if Seattle makes the playoffs. That was a good, decent team with a solid offense who was clicking. That offense was clicking, and they're very good. Yeah, top seven, I think, when they're in sync. 41-35 will take the win, and Dak now favored to win MVP, Parley Kid. What is going on? Plus three. Well, he and Purdy are both 3-1, and Hurts plus 350.
Yeah, I think that's deservingly so. For Dak right now, he's playing at one of the highest, probably the highest level of his career. And over the last month, he's probably been the best quarterback in the NFL. And like you said, Sal, I mean, it wasn't pretty. At least, obviously, defensively, it wasn't pretty. But I think you need to win some games like that. And I think, let's face it, Sal, Micah Parsons alluded to this. The Cowboys normally get the other team's best performances, right? Mm-hmm. And this was certainly, why doesn't Seattle play like this all the time? Metcalf should be almost unstoppable, right?
Right.
He looked at the other day. This is, look, these teams get pumped for the Cowboys. Cowboys did what they had to do. I'll take it. Good win by them. Can't win every game in a blowout, Sal.
No, it's fine. It's going to get tough coming up, right? They have the Eagles.
Very
we'll
tough.
Talk about that in a
very
second.
Tough.
But I gave you credit, Parley Kid. I gave you credit on the Simmons podcast Sunday about, and I know we're jinxing ourselves here with this Mike McCarthy thing. It's now been a couple of years since he's made a truly terrible mistake, right? To the eye, at least.
Well,
I don't know what's going on. Right?
Right.
And while we see all these other coaches week after week after week,
right?
Coaches, respected coaches, they do it. So I don't know if we want to put them top five. I don't even know if we want to talk about this because we know what's going to happen. But maybe we should give them a little juice here, right?
McCarthy deserves some love here from the Cowboys fans. So after years of watching Garrett and some of these other coaches we had, McCarthy has been very good. And look, my biggest concern was him as a play caller. He's been very good. I think they started off the year trying to force the run. Now they're playing to the strengths. They're pretty well balanced. Yes, he has not had it really, a really totally bad blunder to which eventually we might criticize him. But his winning percentage is excellent in Dallas.
Right.
He won in his prior stop with the Packers. You could say, well, look, his quarterback. You know what? Maybe he makes these guys good quarterbacks. Maybe that's the case. So I think we have to show McCarthy some love. He's the head coach. The players seem to really like him. You don't hear a lot. You don't hear too much crap coming out of the Cowboys camp, right? You really don't hear much stuff, negative stuff. It seems to be always like positive stuff. Credit to McCarthy for being the head coach and the play caller of one of the top offenses in the NFL. He deserves some credit here. So a lot of credit.
I think he deserves credit as much as like a John Harbaugh, right? Like you don't hear that much crap about John Harbaugh really going forward. The same kind of resume, I think, in the last few years. The one thing I'll say, Parley Kid, he duped us. Maybe this lends to his genius in the beginning of the year. He's like, we're going to run the ball.
Right.
Cowboys running game is what drives me crazy here. I was like, when we're missing Ezekiel Elliott down low for the most part, it's like, but they didn't run the ball. We're in a position where Dak Prescott's up there for MVP. So, anyway, it's all coming together.
Four straight home games for Dallas. Four straight home games, 41 points or more. That probably has never happened in their history.
Right. Yeah. It's doing great. All right. Houston, Denver. We talked about that. Fun game. Big turnover at the end, Bri. I don't know what else to say about this other than, by the way, Houston's pass rush pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good. That's kind of what they were missing, I thought. I'm looking at...
Well, because Anderson, I will say Anderson's been like, he hasn't had that dominant rookie year that I thought maybe he would have, but all of a sudden now he's starting to come on. And if you get a lot of production from him, all of a sudden that defense is solid too. They were making a lot of plays on defense. Russ, I felt like, was running for his life a lot.
Mm. Well, Will Anderson is 3-1 for defensive rookie of the year. Jalen Carter seems to be still at the top at -180, and Witherspoon is for Seattle is 4-1. But speaking of 4-1, I think Denver is the line disappeared for a minute, but they're about 4-1 to make the playoffs. I don't know. It's tough. All these guys, I look at some of these teams, Brian, I'm like, oh, we look at these schedules every week. Like, oh man, the Bills, all these teams have hideous schedules towards the end. And now I look at like Indianapolis and a lot of these teams like, how do they lose? How did the schedules get easier? I guess because we have an influx of backup quarterbacks every week.
Right. Well, exactly. They're lucking out from there. But yeah, the Texans, you want to see them in the playoffs. They deserve it. But the Texans, the Colts, you look at their schedules compared to some of the other teams, compared to the Bills, it's pretty simple. And in Denver too, I have to think about it. I don't think it's awful. It's not. I mean, there's winnable games there for them for sure. But it's going to be interesting what happens. I just want the Steelers out at this point.
I mean, it's not going to happen. We'll go over this Thursday night game. That's going to be 8 wins, right? Denver at Denver has the Chargers twice. They could sweep them. If they really concentrate, they could sweep them. But they're at the Lions. They're home for the Patriots. That's got to be a win. And then they're at the Raiders, at your Raiders to end things.
And Brian, NFL, NFL, after this year, can you please stop playing when the division teams play each other like two of the three or two of the four last weeks of the season?
You hate that.
I hate it. It's so stupid.
Some people love that.
But as fans, you don't want to see a repeat game right away. Give it to me at the beginning of the season. Give it to me at the end. That's right.
Well, here's why it's tough. I feel like the last 3 years, they're trying to figure out a Sunday night game, right? Something that means something. It's a quagmire.
Right,
you can't get it. You can't get it. I almost think these division games make it harder for that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it. I'm not sure. There's got to be a lot of luck involved. Speaking of a lot of luck, Green Bay, Kansas City. All right, Harry, let's hear it. Green Bay was good. Jordan Love was very good. He reminded me, I was talking about this. He reminded me of Aaron Rodgers, his mannerisms, Harry, like throwing off his back foot and everything and the poise, and these receivers are creating separation, which hadn't happened, right? Dobbs and Watson and all these guys, the guys I hadn't heard of. They probably deserved the game. Multiple bad calls. One of them was in Mahomes' favor on the sideline with the late hit, which was not a late hit. Yep. And then you got the bad pass interference, no pass interference call on Valdez-Scantling at the end that would have put it close. And then I don't care about the Hail Mary. I don't know, Harry. I just don't. You talk about, officials can't be looking at everything all at once. And if it's I wouldn't even want that reviewable, honestly. But 27-19 Green Bay, congratulations. The Chiefs loss on a shitty call.
Yeah, I said on your winning weekend that I loved Green Bay on Sunday night. Jordan Love's been fantastic last three games, 8 touchdowns, no picks. Looks very comfortable and confident. This team's the youngest team in the league, so it's taken a little while this year. But look, they're coming and making a run for the wild card. If the season were to end today, they'd be in the playoffs and they'd be playing Detroit, who they just knocked off on Thanksgiving and pretty much dominated that game. Look out for the Pack.
Yeah, they're not bad. So they would have that 7 seed, right? They lost to Minnesota, but they play them again, I think, is the case, right? and Seattle on the outs. I was just looking at this. There's so much football left because Seattle's double loss to the Rams is going to be a problem, I think, down the stretch. And the only other game, probably, kid, I want to go over is Chargers-Patriots, 6-0. Chargers cover 5.5 with 2 field goals. I think it's happened 3 times in the last 25 years or something. Will the Patriots have the worst record, parlay kid? You can get that at 2-1. It's really them and the Panthers at this point.
Mm, boy.
They have a game over the Panthers, right? They have two wins.
So Panthers I'm not sure if the Panthers are winning the rest of the season. I know their schedule isn't too difficult, but I mean, every game's difficult for the Panthers.
Well, they're not favored in anything. Panthers right at the Saints, now, Falcons, Packers, Jaguars, Bucks. They could win the game home against the Bucks January 7th.
Yeah. I mean, but are they going to want to win it at that point, right? That's a game you might not want to win. Although, I don't know. That's a great question. I would say this. The Patriots still play excellent defense, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? So... Pats
and Jets defenses have to be so upset. The Patriots and Jets defense.
But their offense right now is, especially if Stevenson is being out, I think he was their one guy. Demario Douglas was coming on as a receiver. He didn't play last week. So if you're missing those two guys, you literally have nothing else on offense. You have quarterbacks who can't really throw the ball very well. Oh, boy. And just watching that game. So, I mean, what has happened? I understand it's hard for quarterbacks to the elements can always play a factor. But my gosh, these guys are huge guys with huge hands. It's almost like these offenses shut down with any type of bad weather now. It's like they can't do anything in weather. That's a little drizzle, a little rain. It's over for them. And it's not like Herbert it's the old days either. Where you were on grass, you were in the mud. Everything is on turf. It's not like you're playing in mud. What is happening? Like it's these they can't adjust. And like I don't know if it's the play calling or just the bad quarterbacks that just cannot handle any type of elements. That's why Josh Allen is still so good, because he can handle all the elements.
He can. And it's all on him. It really all does seem to be always all on him. Yeah. Right. To Herbert, okay. 49 QBR, Harry, 22-37. Didn't score a touchdown.
He's got no weapons right now. Eckler stinks. He's got no weapons. Allen is his only weapon. He's a possession receiver.
Herbert, by the way, 8 of his last 9 guys, under 300 yards, 6 of those 9 games. Under 60% completion percentage for him. And by the way, who's more boring to watch, you guys? Who's more boring to watch right now? New England or the Jets? I mean, both are horrendous. Patriots, 13 points combined in the last 3 games. And the Jets, since week 7, since their bye, 58 points in 6 games.
You pointed it out. They're being spiteful, the Jets. And it's so funny because apparently, I can't even believe this is true, but I probably should, that they went to Zach Wilson and said, all right, we're ready for you, champ. And he's like, not so fast. I'm going to weigh my option. When a guy says no to quarterback the Jets and it's Zach Wilson, that's
the
really
local
low.
News
really
was
low.
Getting all over Zach Wilson for that. But I'm also not sure if it's true. I don't know. But yeah, I will say, it's possible. It's possible Zach Wilson maybe isn't that bad, because this when you watch all these different quarterbacks, Hackett and Saleh, they have no idea how to run an offense. The offensive line is awful too. But there, maybe Rodgers is the only person who can run Hackett's offense. I'm not even sure if Rodgers was necessarily good the last time he was in Hackett's offense. But
I think they had the wrong guy in there, right? You could do this dumb dance with Trevor Siemian and everything else, but I really do feel, I don't even know why I'm backing Zach Wilson so much, but I felt if he had like 2 first downs over an hour and a half period in that Atlanta game, they would have won it.
I'm sure Saleh was like, I'd much rather play Wilson here, but if I don't, I'm going to lose my job because the fans are just going to be like, how can you play this guy regardless or whatever? I think it's more
that. And that's why now they could go back to him, because now they see like what else they have. But I could see Zach Wilson's agent saying that on behalf of his client, because this Zach Wilson coming back and playing some more bad football could lead to kind of the end of his career. If he kind of sits out right now, let these other guys stink up the place. It only makes Wilson look better at this point, right? But
he's not going to get a job.
Go out there and play and show some life. Try to earn like maybe another contract somewhere throughout the rest of your career. I can't believe you wouldn't want to capitalize on that opportunity.
Yeah, I can't either. That's why I don't believe it, honestly. But and also, he's going to get a job next year. The quarterback position is so bad. He'll get a job. He'll be a capable backup somewhere, and he'll start like 4 or 5 games. I was thinking about it, though, with the Jets and how football changed since second week in September, right? We had Hard Knocks. Everything was great. There was Aaron Rodgers this, Aaron Rodgers that. Leif Schreiber's coming on. Nobody knows who the hell he is, but it's still everything's positive with the Jets. What else is happening on the college side, Harry? Second week of September. Deion can't lose. Oh my God. Change the program around. Think about how much those two woeful franchises since that started, since what I'm mentioning here.
How about also mentioned, you mentioned Deion. Alabama at that time didn't look good. Texas. Then put up 17 against South Florida. That's it. And 17-3 game. People are thinking Alabama's done too.
Exactly. All right. We've said a lot in a short amount of time. Let's take a quick break. Then we're going to look at a few week 14 games in the NFL. Be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
All right, let's just go over some of these lines here. So Thursday night, we'll be previewing this tomorrow's podcast. We'll have a side, we'll have a total, we'll have a prop, and I might just go no touchdown for first touchdown.
Let's just go no touchdown. I was going to say, let's do it.
I mean, we are 1 for 48, right? That was we took the Thanksgiving week. We didn't do it. 1 for 48. I had the audacity to pick one right. It would have been great, Parlay Kid, if we had a zero out there for 48. We do 4 first touchdown picks a week. I only hit on one of them 1 week. I couldn't even tell you who it was. But anyway, we'll go over that game. This has been jumping around from 5.5 to 6. I was like, oh, that's hefty. It would for Trubisky at home on a short week to give 6. And I'm like, New England has allowed 10 points or fewer in the last 3 games.
Yeah.
And lost all of them. So of course it's gotta be 6.
I know. I'm worried about this being a 10-3 game.
Well, isn't that why, Sal? And I'm sure, on FanDuel, when I'm appearing this week, I mean, I think this Pittsburgh, a 6-point tease with Pittsburgh in the under is the way to go here.
Well, by the time you're on, this game will have played out.
That's right. I don't even get to pick this game.
I know.
I was like, going to be my lock of the week.
You're still allowed to bet it. The over under is 30.5.
Should be like,
that's the lowest this year, Harry. Yeah.
Jeez. Wow.
Probably lower, right?
Like, pretty amazing how Arizona just dominated the Steelers for the whole 60 minutes in the rain in Pittsburgh, but in length
400
6.
Minutes, but
Seems like a lot for Tomlin Trubisky, but like you mentioned, New England can't score at all. And D mentioned earlier, Stevenson out for New England as well. Maybe that's the right number.
Oh, I'm not taking the Patriots, that's for sure. I mean, I've had some very bad bets this year, but over 17.5 team points for the Patriots was my absolute worst. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even close. I mean, never close to getting double digits. All right, Parlay Kid, this one, You know, I'm going to be level-headed about this. Cowboys 3.5 now. It opened at 3. It's now 3.5. We have the hook against Philly. FanDuel and Vegas has it out for Philly. I don't get it. Everything, like, it's like, all right, now they're 3.5 point underdog to team. You know, we played them well in Philadelphia a few weeks ago. Dak stepped out of bounds. Otherwise, maybe that's our game. Revenge factor for sure. Something in there. But do you feel okay about 3.5?
Yeah, I feel okay about it, Sal. They've covered every game at home, I think, this year, correct? And yeah. I guess, you know, like, look, the Eagles have played so many close games this year that could have more losses on their schedule. They've been a good team, but I can't really argue this. I guess, guessing the lines, I would have probably said this should have been like, minus 2.5, 3 maximum, but it's creeping up, which I'm not really surprised about. Cowboys win, they normally cover. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's,
Can't really argue. Eagles might be a little bit banged up too. Eagles a little bit banged up.
Well, I could see Hurts it in one of these games too. You know, yeah, we're getting close to that. You know, and whatever. We're a 5 seed. I'm sorry. We're a very good 5 seed, I think. You know, because if you look at Philly's last 3, and I'm just going to keep pointing to this. Everyone talks about how these next few weeks are tough. They still have Arizona and then the Giants twice in the last 3. Those are teams are going to be kind of, I don't think anyone's tanking, but they're not going to be, they're not winners those last 3 weeks. So, anyway, let's hand it to them, Dallas, for the sake of Big Dom. Let's get in their face there. Is Big Dom going to be involved in the tush push, Bri? Are they just going to put him in there? I could see it. Just get him in there.
That's pretty
good. This fat ass behind it.
That would be funny if they lined him up behind Hurts.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard he was in like 1999. He was on the Penn State football team, but then got kicked off and never played a game.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Paterno kicked him off? Was Paterno there? Yeah. Sure. Right? Wow.
Paterno was in for 80 years.
All right. I hope Harry's not spreading faulty rumors
here.
Right,
Harry, he's 2.5. Morals. He's got morals, Paterno.
Right, exactly. Everybody's got their breaking point. The Chiefs 2.5 point favorite over the Bills. This, I think Harry opened at 3. Again, I feel like, you know, Buffalo went to Philly and it was 2.5 also. It's like, this is weird. More revenge stuff, all that stuff with Buffalo, Kansas City. What do you think of this line?
Yeah, remember, this was my game of the year last year, which won Buffalo at Kansas City. Yeah, look, Kansas City, I think it's fair. Look, offense is sputtering. Bills at 6-6, desperate for a win on the road. And if you include the loss in London to Jacksonville, Buffalo 1-5 on the road. Their win was against Washington, but they have scored 66 points the last 2 games. Buffalo has. Very interesting. I think more Buffalo needs this game a lot more than Kansas City does. So 2.5 seems good.
They do, but it would be interesting. And in Kansas City, will they, Bri, like 3,000 to win the division or something? It's so stupid. Yeah. They have 8 wins. But I might have made that up for the division. What is it?
Raiders mathematically alive for the division.
6,000. I wasn't making it up. Wow. The Raiders are 95-1. Chiefs are minus 6,000 to win division, and they could be 8-5. Right? It's and they'll still be 6,000.
Yeah,
crazy what's going on there. Jags and Cleveland. This is interesting. All of a sudden, sprained ankle is what I'm hearing. Last report for Trevor Lawrence, but a high ankle sprain, but not ruled out. We've seen quarterbacks play and play well with high ankle sprains. Patrick Mahomes for sure comes to mind. Jags a healthy 3 at Cleveland parlay, kid. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Actually, I don't like that. You really need to know the quarterback situation to even make a determination, because if it's a battle of the backups, I'd still, if Lawrence isn't playing, I would almost give the edge to the Browns in this game. Right.
At some point you do. Bethard was okay, by the way. For a quarterback that just came in, didn't take snaps all week. He was okay.
That's what I mean. So Lawrence comes out of that lineup. What's that spread right there? Like, is that, plus Darren, what is that going to be?
Kirk hurt too. If Kirk misses the game, he's their leading receiver.
That's a great point. Yeah. So what would that be without Lawrence?
Browns have to be favored, I think.
I would jump on the Browns right now, because I don't see Lawrence playing with a high ankle sprain. And if he does play, and that's a legit injury, he's not. Yeah. That's I know we've seen a couple guys do it, but that's usually like several weeks.
Yeah, from a high ankle sprain. They're definitely factoring not playing because the Browns are now minus three.
You think so?
They're minus
three. The Browns are minus three.
Yeah, oh, really? I knew that was going to swing. I knew it.
Six and a half points.
I hope you took Paulie's advice.
So good. I got
25 seconds ago.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So I forgot to check. The Browns are now minus three. Lawrence can't be playing at this point, but who the hell? So it's DTR or, you know, like I said, I started to say, like, I like Flacco in there, honestly, because he throws downfield. If it'd be one thing if DTR or PJ Walker were good scramblers in the pocket, I don't see it unless I'm missing it. They're not there. So, all right, you have a statuesque Flacco in there, but at least he's throwing downfield. He's got this connection with Elijah Moore and, you know,
well,
Cooper
being banged up is a problem. It hurts them that Cooper, like the guy is in and out of every game. Like he's got to stay healthy for that.
That's
team.
Typical. That's typical Cooper. That's typical of him. And so I think that's what Cincinnati did so well yesterday is I know it looked bad at the beginning, but literally Browning, literally his first five passes were little dump offs. They got him in a little rhythm. And then they finally let the kids start throwing the ball downfield. When are they going to let these backups do that? You got to start letting guys throw the ball downfield. Jeez. Right.
But he looked poised too, Browning. He really looked like the characteristics of Joe Burrow. If you didn't know the number, you'd be like, wow.
He was like 28 of 32 guys, at one point yesterday.
Look, threw 43 touchdown passes as a sophomore at Washington. 4-year starter at Washington.
All those years were good at Washington. Yeah.
Kick and play.
He was a leading Heisman in junior year at Washington. He was
at one point. That's what I said. Sure. Exactly. Yes. Thank you.
He was right there for Heisman.
I think they won 10 games three of his years. I think sophomore to senior year, I think they won 10.
His stats went down after his sophomore year.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
This Browns Jaguars game over under also 30.5. I mentioned 30.5 for Pittsburgh, New England Thursday night. Houston Jets is 32.5. Do we just bump all these up 10 points, Brian, put our feet up and be like, yeah, let's just bet the under. It's under 42.5 Jets, under 40.5 Browns Jets. I mean, he's a 10-3 games in the fourth quarter.
I mean,
right?
Yeah, I think we take maybe at least take some individual teams unders because it is weird. Like when you talked about the Browns, like Browns on the road defensively are awful stat-wise. Mm-hmm. They're great at home. The Jags defense last night was awful. It's hard to I don't know, maybe
Jags defense, but Lou Anarumo's defense is taking a hit a little too for Cincinnati
for sure. Maybe individual team unders, although you know you're gonna have to do like 7 to 10 points under, but I don't see some of these teams scoring.
Harry came on Cousin Sal's winning weekend and picked every game on the board under. I can't kill him because he had a good, what were you, 10-5
10
overall?
And 6.
The teasers, Munders, to everything under. Yeah. Well, the college ones you didn't do under really, but yeah.
I did under. Right. Yeah.
Pretty good. Well, get ready for Harry talking about the weather a lot for the next couple of weeks because it's coming. 49ers were a 13.5 point favorite, now 10.5 against Seattle. Bry, I just don't... You can't go against Seattle. I mean, it's almost at this point where a letdown game is them winning by like 15 or 16.
Oh, for San Francisco, you said?
You can't go against San Francisco.
Go against San Francisco. I feel that way. I think there's certain, if you like the other side, it's almost a stay away, right? At this point, there's certain teams, like I know you'll get to it in a sec too. I think San Francisco, the Dolphins, depending on who they're playing, I think they're if you like the other side, just stay away from him because they can beat up on certain teams.
San Fran just rolling everybody, double digit wins all over the place. 10.5 is too low.
Yeah, probably too low. You know, only a couple of weeks removed from Thanksgiving when they beat the hell out of Seattle, right? So I think they just have their number. Let's talk about that Dolphins, one of two Monday night games. Why? I have no idea. 13.5 against the Titans, parlay kid. I don't know. It's just like, you could bet the Titans and then Tyreek Hill circles under a pass.
Well, that's the thing.
There's no one within 12 yards of them. And, you know, they get their free seven.
That's the thing. You have to have these point spreads because when the Dolphins win and they play these average to below average teams, they blow them out. They blow them out. It seems like way too high of a number, but it's really not. It's just really not, right? The numbers that the Dolphins have put up against these type of teams this year say this is exactly where this should be.
Yeah. You know?
Dolphins, and the other guys 5-0 at home straight up, and four of those five games by 14 or more.
Right. There you go. Good job.
They've been good. I wasn't going to even mention this one, but all of a sudden it's an interesting game. The Colts are 1.5-point favorite at Cincinnati. This is a loser leaves town match, Harry, right?
Sure.
I think, I was looking at my futures. I'm anti-Indy on everything. If they make the playoffs, I am really, really screwed. And there's not even really a way to hedge until
you're going
to
have good luck this weekend then.
That was something last week.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah? On a short week, Cincinnati, everyone, Jake Browning going nuts. I don't know.
Minshew mania.
Minshew makes too many mistakes. He makes too many mistakes.
You're right, D.
He does, and it's going to come back and get him in this one.
No Jonathan Taylor last week.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Tennessee finally opened up, and they still blow that game late. Minshew pulls it out.
Parlay kid, just a little bit of a tease there. That's a sharp tank right there. I don't know if he's putting on a teaser or what. Yeah, maybe plus 7.5 on the teaser should be good. But show up, defense for Cincinnati. Come on, do it. All right, quick break, and then we're really going to get into it. College football, how do we feel about this Final Four? We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
All right, Michigan, 1 seed. Washington, 2 seed. Texas, 3 seed. Alabama, 4 seed. I'm going to say something controversial here. I think it's wrong to take away a playoff spot from undefeated FSU. But as a fan, I'm glad they did it.
Yeah.
I am. I don't know. I'm sorry. I just am. Paulie Kim, we'll hear from you for a second. I think you have the most to say about it. But Harry, what are your feelings on this?
Well, look, did Florida State get screwed? Maybe, probably. I mean, the ACC was 6-4 versus the SEC. Florida State lit up LSU to start the season, was 2-0 against the SEC this year. SEC's best non-conference win, their best non-conference win all season, was Kentucky over Louisville, and the Cards were probably looking ahead to Florida State in the ACC title game. But I kind of agree with you, though, Sal, because, if Florida State, you put them in, they lose by 30, they only score 6 points, it's boring, and everyone says, we knew it. But here's my thing, though. With Florida State being 5, not getting the 4 seed, if Clemson was in that same spot, undefeated, and on their backup quarterback, would the committee have not allowed Clemson and Dabo Swinney in?
I don't know. Well, how about this? Well, let's apply it to what's going on here. And this, I think, is the Florida State's best case here. If Jalen Milroe gets hurt for Alabama on the last drive, but they still win, but he's not playing in this, he's out for the year. He can't play in January. Does Alabama get screwed or do they put him in? Brian, what do you think of that? Because that's really what FSU backers should be focused on. Like, well, if this is fair, would you have done this to Alabama?
I don't think they revere. I don't think for as good as Milroe was in certain games, I don't think they look at him the same way as they were looking at maybe Travis. So like if a Bama quarterback came in and a backup and was still pretty solid, I think they probably still put Bama in.
All right. So are you okay with the 4 or no?
Well, look, we thought after Bama won that game, we kind of all thought that was going to be the 4, right? And then there were some crazy odds you could get if Florida State wasn't going to make it.
Yeah, I don't know what the liability was, but FanDuel had a line set like Saturday night that at almost 5-1 odds you thought Florida State was not going to make it.
It was minus 800 for them to make it.
And then
it was... For this, early in that morning before this went off, it was like plus 290 for these to be the 4 teams that came out. But look,
I got it at plus 340, but I lost. I also had it with Florida State and Texas. So I netted 240.
Well, anyway, right. Yeah, so yeah. Made some money off of that. But look, I think what kind of needs to happen, right? Like, because I will say, I think it's unfair for FSU, but it is also hard to punish a team that plays the top three team earlier in the season, right? Because you want these teams to play each other, but then if you lose, you're screwed. If you win, you know, you go. But I will say they should force, they almost need to do what they do in college basketball, where they have like power five matchups, like Big Ten versus SEC.
Beginning of the year.
Like everybody plays some, because you need to know who is good. Like, we think the Big Ten is good, but are we sure? Outside of Michigan and Ohio State, it might not be good. We think the Pac-12 is good, right? What was the best win? They were good non-conference, the Pac-12, but what was their best win non-conference? It wasn't really, they didn't really have a big non-conference win. The SEC sucked at a conference. And you could certainly say, Harry said it, you could certainly say FSU had the second most impressive non-conference win, right? They beat up LSU earlier in the year, who's top five. And LSU was still a good team. They beat Florida with their backup. And look, I know Florida also had their backup, but Florida also gave SEC teams problems. There were certain teams that struggled with Florida. So like, and you could say like the SEC lost a ton of guys to the draft last year. So maybe it was just a down year for them. But at the end, at the end of the day, I will say this definitely, and I've put this in text, you guys, this definitely came down to money, right? The networks, the networks are bidding for the new playoff rights next year, right? They want all, they want every broadcast channel to have this. They want all, they want a rotation of networks to get it. So if they put,
especially with the SEC,
right? Yeah. If they put FSU in and FSU stinks and the ratings stink like the Georgia TCU game did last year, you know, it hurts them. So look, I mean, I kind of get it. I do. I mean, if I was FSU, one thing I'll say, look, and what do you guys think of this? If FSU, say they go out, I know they're like a 13-point underdog to Georgia. If they somehow beat Georgia in that, can they lay claim?
If everybody plays.
Right, but could they lay claim like we should be co-champions, right? We should they like, do whatever like it used
to. They get rings and everything. Right. But that's my point. And Paulie Kidd, I think we've all said it. You don't need to have to speak on the subject, so we could just move on to did they really get screwed though? Well, I'm a numbers guy, and they were going to be 40-1 to win the title. So they got screwed out of making the playoffs, but come on, at 40-1, it's basically now you're talking NCAA tournament basketball, a 9 seed, you know, 9-ish seed not getting in. You know what I mean? So, but go ahead, Parley Kid. Let's hear it. I know you're most upset about this.
This is, like you said, Sal, from a fan standpoint, I guess this is the best case scenario, I guess. But in a world where we're lacking of just people doing the right things here, what was the right thing to do here? The right thing was to put Florida State in the playoffs. That was the right thing to do. These guys are all going to make, the NCAA is going to make, I don't know, how many millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars on this playoff, regardless whether it was Alabama or Florida State. That's just the way it is. They weren't going to go broke because Florida State was in this playoff. And to do the right thing was putting these kids in. They did what they had to do. They were down to their third string quarterback, still playing a ranked team in Louisville. Their defense shut them out. Shut them out. You're going to tell their defense they're not good enough to play in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. Bad job by the NCAA. This is a hose job. And guys, guess what? Alabama shouldn't be in. They should have lost to Auburn, for crying out loud, except for a fluke play. They shouldn't even be here, but they had to put Bama in because it's Bama. That bad, it's BS on that. Bad job by the NCAA committee. Terrible job. They screwed Florida State. That's just the way it is. They didn't do the right thing. Shame on them.
D, they don't want it. The committee just don't see how they could pass on putting in. You're right. I agree. The right play is Florida State.
Georgia should have been over Alabama. I don't care what happened in the last game.
Are they really not going to put an SEC school in there?
That's exactly it, Harry. So let's look at it this way. You could say Power Five. Oh, Power Five, undefeated Power Five should get in, and maybe you're right. But the Power Five, the whole Power Five thing, is a farce. Like, first of all, if an undefeated team from the MAC, you know, if a team went undefeated, we wouldn't give a shit if they were out of the top four, weren't considered. That you just have to look at it like they don't way all the five conferences the same. The SEC gets special consideration because they won three of the last four championships. And when the conferences get jumbled up next year, there's no way you're going to be able to
five anymore.
There's no power five, and you can't have a problem if four teams make it from the SEC or the Big Ten. That's just how it is. I'm just the conferences aren't the same. And it is one of the criteria, Parley Kid. Like if there is a player or a coach who's not going to be available and it makes a substantial impact on the team's performance, that's one of the things they consider for putting a team forward. It sucks, but that's just how it is. I think.
Well, to your point though, about Florida State, if they were in it, you know, they wouldn't have the number three quarterback going anymore. Rodemaker would be back in. So they'd be back to their number two playing in that game against Michigan, which now isn't going to happen.
It wasn't that great either. They needed to score against Louisville. There's so much time between this.
How are you going to explain it? And it's probably not going to happen.
How are you going to
explain it if one of these quarterbacks somehow in practice goes down the next month? How are you going to explain it? What are you going to say? Are you going to take Michigan out? If Penix gets hurt somehow, I don't know. Penix gets into a bicycle riding accident. What are you going to say? You're going to take Washington out of the playoffs? No, seriously. You're not going to bite. This is a terrible job.
But they had to decide on Sunday, not in the next couple of weeks.
But it should have been a lock. Somebody else, Bama, should have been the team out. They lost to Texas.
You know what sucks,
guys? They should have lost to Auburn. Sorry, Bama. You're not in it this year.
The top eight would have been great this year. The top eight, I know 12 next year. This top eight would have been amazing.
They had 10 years to get this format together.
I like six.
They had 10 years. It's their fault anyway. They had 10 years because they couldn't get their stuff together earlier than this. They knew eventually this was going to happen. They screwed up.
Going forward, that's a good thing. This won't be as... By the way, this is great for college football.
It is going to be a consideration for buys and stuff.
But if a 13th ranked team doesn't get in with three losses, are we really going to care this much about it?
But now you have a team that's probably say ranked eighth, and the quarterback's hurt. What's the difference? You might as well put the 13th team in. I mean,
There is a point where you would say if the whole defense gets in a bus wreck or something, you'd be like, all right, well, that can't be
that team. There's a lot of accidents going on here. What's happening?
Everyone's just a little more careful.
That's why I said bike accident.
Darren, listen, too brutal. Save your voice for your next track meet.
All right, Paulie, save your voice and save your money. Just bet Florida State plus 13 against Georgia. Make a lot of money. That's good. It'll be fine. It'll be good. Right? And the Orange Bowl, a home game, Orange Bowl, they should cover 13 against Georgia, right?
Well, I think, Sal,
we don't know who's playing in these games now.
Kirby Smart said he's ready for that game. He's pumped for that game, Smart said.
The funny thing is, Smart will play that. I mean, those two teams are definitely going to play that to win. I will say this year is the one year or two with FSU, like in terms of their defense being so good, like the top offenses in this, like obviously like Texas's offense has been flying right now recently. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, I know Washington against Oregon, but Washington's offense and Michigan's offense and Alabama's offense aren't necessarily great. So I don't know if those teams would be putting up 35, 40 points. They've still, you know, FSU could still probably hold those teams to like the low 20s potentially based on what we saw like Iowa do with Michigan.
Yeah, but, That's what we're looking at.
But are they going to score? I mean, that's another.
So what do you think of these lines, Brian? Michigan opens 1.5 favorite over Alabama. That would have been 12 or 13. Not that this should decide it, although maybe FanDuel should just decide it.
I really want to go Michigan, but... This might be what I did with Georgia, right? And the SEC, like, can you go against Saban when he's not playing a certain team in the playoffs here? Like, I don't know.
I mean, it's so hard. There's so much to look at. Michigan did not look good offensively against Iowa. Alabama, as Parley Kid pointed out, it shouldn't even be in the conversation if Milroe doesn't complete that pass against Auburn, who lost to New Mexico State? The week before or a couple of weeks or something. Yeah. It's crazy. You can go nuts with this. But the line, I think fair, Harry?
Yeah, it's fair though.
Sal would look, but I think it's still a one versus a four, 1.5 is still kind of low here. Saban getting points is always intriguing. Yeah. Harbaugh, 1-6 at Michigan in bowl games. Last four gave up 51, 34.
This is your boy.
Lost to Bama 35-16 in the Camping World Bowl in 2013. 1-4 versus SEC teams in bowl games. I think that's a little low.
But that
here.
Was before you gave him a pep talk.
This line should have been 2.5-3. Yeah. Still 2.5-3 Michigan, in my opinion. 1.5 is low.
All right. Paulie Kidd, you want to take the other one? Texas 4.5. It's funny, the over-unders. So 46.5 is Michigan, Alabama. 63.5, Texas, Washington. Texas a 4.5 point favorite.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. People keep sleeping on Washington a little bit. I think they're sleeping on this team. I think that's spread. I would like to have seen it a little tighter than what they're saying there. I certainly probably like the over, the way Texas's offense is kind of humming right now. I that under over I think is about correct. But I don't know, so, Harry. Am I right? People's kind of sleeping on this Washington team.
You're right. Look, that 9.5 was insane last week. It really was,
right.
And we all kind of fell
like,
for it still. But you mentioned, Washington still 30+ points in 10 games in a day. I think you're right in this one. You know what, guys? Texas, Washington. Over.
Oh, really? Already? We're getting a month early pick here.
Whoa, you went under too in Oregon, Washington, right? Under the 65.5.
Yeah,
under
65.5. Texas is, like you mentioned, just rolling lately. But they've scored 106 points in the last two games. Texas.
Yeah.
That was insane.
My only concern with that is the way Washington played against Oregon early in that game. They just controlled the line of scrimmage so much. It was like they were just eating up so much of it.
Sark against a former team, too, guys.
It's a good
one. They might just play 3-point games. They might just be that team.
Let's root for Washington, though. Let's root for Washington.
Well, Bry, if Oregon won that game, which everybody had,
I think they were still getting in.
Then Florida State gets it.
You think?
Then Oregon's the team that gets
But again, if Oregon looked really good against Washington, right? And they've been this dominant team lately. What would be the difference between Oregon and Alabama?
Because if Oregon had won that game by three and then they win a game by three and lose a game by three against Washington.
Yeah, no, it's tough. I mean, I thought the other day they would, based on the criteria they did with just keeping FSU out, I would have thought Oregon would be in. Although they put FSU 5 ahead of Georgia. I don't know.
It's tough. All right. We can move on. We'll talk a lot about that. I wish we knew the bowl game. That's the one thing. The bowl games aren't great anymore because you don't really even know who's playing up until, I mean, you got to check 10 minutes before kickoff to see if the quarterback's playing or not. So I was thinking of doing like a whole bowl special, but what's the point? We know like Caleb Williams isn't playing. Let's look at the transfer portal. Your boy, Kyle McCord, is in the portal, hasn't latched onto a team, Parlay Kid, yet, but he's leaving Ohio State.
Yeah, I think Ohio State's obviously looking to move on from him, thinking they could get somebody more of a C.J. Stroud type, obviously, in there. I think he'll be productive somewhere, though. I thought he was a little underrated.
He should go to Florida State. Like next week, he should go to the next couple
imagine
weeks.
That.
Florida State.
Imagine that.
Oregon, Dylan Gabriel from Oklahoma goes to Oregon, Harry. That's fun. Another, he's going to be like 23 in a couple weeks. But
I can't, that's
I
all he's going to be.
Care.
It's all he's going to be.
That's his third school.
Like yeah, December so 20 something. He's 23.
I'm shocked that he's not 25.
I got to tell you, I don't care.
Some of these guys are 27.
Care. I don't care anymore. Let them be. How bad do these pro quarterbacks have to be before you want them? Let them be 35 and come in if they're ready.
Whatever,
if that's all it takes.
If that makes them
enough.
Better.
Like I want to see them good. I want to see experienced. I don't want to see quarterbacks make dumb moves. And the more experience they have,
why don't we just start? I've told you this. There's a simple solution to getting quarterbacks better play. You got to have
eight
a minor league system. You got to have forget the USFL, XFL, all that junk. You have each team has a minor league system. They play 8 games in the spring. That's how you develop the young quarterbacks. That's how you do it. I don't know what's taking them so long to do that.
Because then they're playing 9 months essentially out of the year, and then no player.
It's those practice squad guys. It's the fringe guys. It's
college the way it is now, though. Darren, I know me and you were exchanging messages over the weekend, but like okay, now Gabriel goes to Oregon. He's what 23? What are you guys 23? 20, like at what? And the money that they get is crazy at this point. Like, will they? He's going to Oregon. He's not going to see the inside. They just get to go to Oregon, play for a year, not see the inside of a classroom. It's college. It's crazy football now.
It's getting like that.
Well, that's not recently, though, Harry.
The money is. Well, listen now, to
Lawrence Taylor. Mikey Meatballs and I listen to Lawrence Taylor. By the way, that's a great show. I don't know if you guys said Let's Go. It's with Jim Gray and Tom Brady. And Lawrence Taylor was a guest. And it's awesome every week. Really? Brady's excellent, I have to say. It hurts me to say, but he's excellent. And LT was on. He didn't talk about it. He didn't go to class. Brady's like, I went to class when I had
no
to.
No one goes to class in North Carolina, right, yeah. Tate? Where's Tate?
Tate's out there. But this isn't a new thing here. But but as far as the NIL thing, Cam Ward, Bri, Washington State, he's in the portal. And there's a report that 10 seven-figure deals await him for NIL.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it is now, right? I mean, it's just going to be a carousel of quarterbacks, right? There's going to be it's going to be 30 quarterbacks switching hands every year, and they're going to each get, for those Power Five schools, they're each going to get, you know.
I don't keep mind. It makes
keeping
that
them
up
in school longer, Sal. Keeping them and getting those extra games, like you said, right? Like
that's fine.
Like, yeah, I'll stay in college, make $1 million rather than go to the pros, right? You know? Yeah,
I don't understand the fascination with people being old. I mean, it's fun to make jokes and everything, but I don't care how old they are going. I'm not dating these people. I don't care how old, if it's 26 or 27. Like, what does it matter?
Yeah, the transfer portal just makes it hard for us to do research every year.
That's exactly right. It makes those podcasts tough in the middle of August. Brain squasher for sure. DJU is in the portal and the other Oregon State quarterback, right? Harry, I think also both of them. In the portal. Arch Manning says he's staying at Texas. I don't know. He came in that Oak State game. He just handed the ball off. I expected more. I expected more from him, Bri. It's like, this is what we waited for?
I know. It's interesting. I mean, do we know with Ewers what he's doing? Is he coming back? Who knows what will happen after this upcoming game? I mean, it'd be interesting to see a Manning who was supposed to be this top recruit all of a sudden sit out his first 2 years. That sucks. So he's got to get somewhere he can play, whether it's Texas or somewhere else.
Exactly. This is an interesting one. Tyler Buckner, the Bama backup, back to Notre Dame, but as a lacrosse player, Parley Kid. Did you see that?
Really?
Yeah, done with football. That's what I read. That he's playing lacrosse now.
Yeah, it said he was a top 40 high school lacrosse player coming out.
That's interesting.
Couldn't play quarterback, so let's see him in lacrosse. So
we got a guy we went to high school with whose son is getting a lot of attention in the transfer portal.
What?
Yeah, really? Joey Albaum? Slackman,
Albaum?
Who plays for UPenn? Remember Paul Slackman? He was my center.
Paul Slackman. Yeah,
his exactly. son. Comac kid, state champ wrestler, UPenn. Mm. He's going to be going big time.
Yeah, it said he was one of the top transfer portal guys in all of college. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Paul Slackman's son. There you go. That's good times. And he protected you, Paul Slack. How many times did you get sacked that year? Probably kid.
Probably 50
year?
Or 60 times.
All right. Good. There you go. He couldn't even make it to the transfer portal. Someone help him up. Get him in the transfer portal. The poor Parley Kid. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back to wrap things up.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
All right, that's about it, Harry. We come back tomorrow. What are we going to do? Does anyone care about this Army Navy game? We don't have college. Yes.
Brian does.
I like the game.
You do?
I like the game.
We lost big on it last week, bro. Last year.
I know.
Me, you, Megan Conley, we had the under.
Well,
now we've seen unders with these numbers.
The unders are so low now this year, and they kept hitting under. We have to play the under. It's
28 and a half. Oh my God. All right. I mean, come on. Craziness. No, that game went to overtime last year. We got screwed. I remember saying the only way we get screwed is if, and sure enough, overtime, touchdown. All right, that's it. That's going to do it for another episode of Against All Odds from Mikey Meatballs in the D3. I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700, or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.